Well, they went for Hajj and they came back and insist.
عشق کی راہ پر چلنے والوں عشق کی کوئی منزل نہیں ہے عشق کی راہ پر چلنے والوں عشق کی کوئی منزل نہیں ہے راہ میں تھک کے جو بیٹھ جائے وہ اس سفر کے قابل نہیں ہے راہ میں تھک کے جو بیٹھ جائے وہ اس سفر کے قابل نہیں ہے
In this road of love to, of Allah تبارک و تعالی there is no station that you go there and you sit down and say I'm tired The person who goes on this journey and on the way he says, I'm tired of the difficulties, hardships, problems that I'm facing, then he is not worthy of taking this journey. Wo is safar ka qabil nahi hai.
Tu safina badhaye chala ja, doobne ki na kuch fikr farma. Tu safina badhaye chala ja, ڈوبنے کی نہ کچھ فکر فرما غم کے دریا میں خضر محبت صرف طوفاں ہے ساحل نہیں ہے
So if only you understand this, then you will appreciate that this journey of Hajj, it is a journey which in which you express your love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Otherwise, what was the reason to make us take off our clothes and put on ihram sheets and tell us, now you must not put perfume, you must not wash your hands with scented soap, and you must not cut your fingernails, and you must not clip any hair from your head and body, and you must be like Majnoon. What was the reason for that? It is an expression of our love for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that the person is madly searching for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He was searching for him in the masjid in the five time namaz. He was searching for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in the fast in the month of Ramadan. He was searching for him by giving his zakat, spending his wealth. Now Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says he's leaving his family, he's leaving his home, he's leaving his business, he's leaving everything. And he's coming and I will now meet him. Now come to my house. You have been searching for me all over, I am here. Now when he comes there, then he says, come to Mina, come to Arafat, come to Muzdalifah. So this is the, how the person is going about madly in search of the love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So this journey, you must condition your minds. So arguments will end the moment we have preconditioned our minds. If we have conditioned ourselves that difficulties will come, some problems will come, then we must try and resolve it. Doesn't mean if problems come now, then we say because it's a Hajj trip, so we mustn't resolve any problem. We must take all the difficulties and hardship. It doesn't mean that. If any difficulty comes, try and find a resolution to that problem. But do not become impatient, restless, and begin arguing and quarreling, because that is what will destroy the sawab and the reward of that Hajj. Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said that man hajja lillah falam yarfas walam yafsuk Rajat ka yawmin waladathu ummuhu, that that person who undertakes Hajj and he does not engage in any obscenity, any wickedness, any wrangling, any quarreling, any argument, any disputes, then he will return from Hajj like the day that his mother gave birth to him, clean and pure. So when we enter into arguments, we lose our tempers over little things, over food, over accommodation, over this and that, then we lose the rewards of Hajj. And Shaitan's maximum effort is to make us lose our tempers. Because we'll be traveling with people who will be strangers to us. And to get used to every person's different people's habits is not an easy thing. So that is the important thing, that they must not be quarreling and wrangling in Hajj. So when the person is now in planning to put on his ihram, then what is important is to understand that in ihram, or the compulsory things of ihram, are the niyat and the talbiyah. The niyat and the talbiyah. This is compulsory in ihram. That for what are you putting on this ihram? for Umrah or for Hajj, and to recite the Talbiyah. I'm not going to go into the details of Farz, Wajib, Sunnat and all that. Here and there I will mention that, but just to make it simple and easy, that to put on the sheets of Ihram, to recite the Talbiyah and the Niyat, these are the three things which are essential. However, the two rakats of namaz and the ghusl that we make before the namaz, these are sunnats of ihram. So if we have the time, or especially when we are traveling from here, on the way it's very difficult to have another bath and shower, so we say before you leave home, then let that ghusl be with that niyat, that Ya Allah, I'm making this ghusl with the niyat that soon I'm going to put on my ihram. Whether you put it on after a couple hours, it does not matter, because it is inconvenient to have ghusl and bath on the way. So after getting complete body purification, remove unwanted hair, have a good bath, thereafter you make two rakats, thereafter you put on your sheets of ihram. But after this bath, as I said, that if you cannot put it on same time, there's no harm. Whenever you are ready to put on the sheets of ihram, then you put it on there. This ghusl, if you have undertaken it, well and good. If you cannot before the ihram, then there is no sin, because it is inconvenient whilst you are in the plane or whilst you are at the airport. But if there is time to make the two rakats of namaz, then you should make the two rakats of namaz. So after you have a bath, you have put on the towels, the two sheets of ihram. At this stage you do not do the istiba, that means taking the sheet out from under the right shoulder and throwing it over the left shoulder. You don't do it from now. Lots of hajis, they do that long, long before they even arrive at Makkah Sharif. That is only when you are going to start the tawaf. At this stage you just put one sheet on your shoulders and you tie your ihram like the lungi at the bottom. And those who say that this ihram is stitched, so therefore it's not permissible to wear it, it is not correct. It doesn't mean that if there are stitches on the sides of the ihram, it's not permissible to wear it. By stitched garments, what we mean is something that is in the shape of a garment, like a shirt or a kurta. If you are wearing it in that manner, it's not permissible. But if there's threads right around the ihram, there's no harm. In fact, even if it is sewn, it is makruh. But if it is sewn, then too that ihram is valid. If a person sewed his sheet, just because for the protection of the satar, he does not know how to be careful, so therefore he sewed it up like a lungi, it is permissible. In fact, if a person is 100% certain that his satar will be exposed in the ihram, then it is permissible for that person to wear a sewn ihram sheet, and there will be no sin also on such a person. But generally it is not better to have it sewn. You should leave it like that. Just tie it up in a proper way. And some sort of practice must be undertaken before you go for Hajj. If a person has never worn a lungi in his life, and suddenly when he's just about to put on the ihram, he's trying to tie the lungi, he's going to have a problem. So you should try and practice a little before going. So this is the important thing, that this namaz, the two rakat namaz, if it is not makruh time, then you should make it. If it is makruh time, then even that namaz should not be made. Because the essential thing now is that ihram. And what is ihram? After you've got the sheets on, you remove your hat, and you make the niyat and talbiyah, that is your ihram. So if you are making the namaz, then the namaz you make with your hats on. You got your sheets of ihram on. Now with your hats on you make the namaz. After you have made the namaz, then you say, Ya Allah, in simple language which you understand, you say, O Allah, I intend making umrah. So make it easy for me and accept it from me. That's all. Simple. O Allah, I intend making umrah, make it easy for me and accept it from me. Then you read the labbaik. Labbaik, labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik, innal hamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika lak. This labbaik it is sunnah to read it three times. To read it three times is sunnah, but to read it one time is wajib, and it must be read in an audible voice. It is wajib to make any zikr, but to read this particular labbaik, it is sunnah. So therefore the person should learn this and read it three times in an audible voice. The women folk, there is no difficulty for them at all. They do not have to change into sheets or anything of that nature. Whichever normal dresses they wear, they can wear the same dress for ihram. There is no question of them having any special kind of ihram dress. That is not necessary. Yes, what is important is that that dress must be simple. It must not be fashionable, because you are going for Hajj and you are not going there just to display the type of garment that you have. It is not a fashion show there. So that dress must be simple. But what is most important for the ladies and those who are taking their wives along, you will also be sinful if you allow them to go like that. And that is that most of the ladies, or many, many ladies, are seen there with very thin white material. And it reflects not only their bodies, but also the blackness of their hair. If they wear clothes like that and make Hajj, the namazes which they make in those kind of clothes are not valid. It is not accepted. The du'as which they will make in that kind of dress, they will be getting nothing but curses of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Therefore, if they are wearing white material, they must make sure that it is thick and it covers their body properly and it doesn't reflect any part of their body. And especially the scarves which they put on their heads, they must make sure that there is a lining under that cloth and it doesn't reflect the blackness of their hair. Remember this, because as husbands you will also be responsible. And this is a very common error of our women folk. So they must wear the same dress, and it is extremely easy and simple for them. As far as the ghusl is concerned, the bath is concerned, and the namaz is concerned, the same rule applies to them. But if they are not in a position to read salat, because of their monthly periods, they are not able to read salat, then there is no harm. They must still make the ghusl, but this ghusl is not for the purpose of salat. It is the ghusl of ihram. With that ghusl, of course, you cannot read salat and Quran Sharif. And if they do not undertake their ghusl because they are on the journey and it is difficult, then too there is no harm. For them it is in that same clothes, they just make the niyat that, Ya Allah, I am making umrah, make it easy for me, accept it from me. Of course, if they are in hijab and niqab, then the only thing they have to do is open their niqab. And thereafter, only if strangers are passing, they must try to make sure that they cover the face in such a way that the cloth doesn't fall on their face. But for them it is simple as that, that they just make the niyat, they read the labbaik softly, and they are in ihram. So simple for women. They can wear their socks, they can wear hand gloves, they can wear jewelry, nothing difficult for them. Only the other rules will apply, just as it applies to the men folk, that now it will not be permissible to cut fingernails, to apply perfume, or to cut any hair from the body, or to indulge in any kind of talk which is normally permissible between husband and wife. Those kind of talks which are permissible just between husband and wife, or any kind of relationship, that will now be totally haram and prohibited in the state of ihram. But the rest of it is so simple for them. So why put them through unnecessary difficulties? Why insist that it must be like this and must be like that? Allah Ta'ala makes a thing easy, we make it difficult. So for ourselves also, so simple. What have we really done? We have just made ghusl if it was possible, made two rakats of namaz if it was not makruh time. If it's makruh time, we didn't even make the namaz. Thereafter we put on the two sheets of ihram we made our namaz. Then we removed our hats, we made the niyat, and we read the labbaik. so simple. We are now in Ihram. Now throughout the journey from here till Makkah Sharif, there is nothing else to do except read Labbaik. The best wazifa of the person who is in Ihram is Labbaik. When you're climbing, when you're getting down, when you're walking, anywhere, when you meet the Hajis, Labbaik, Labbaik. That is the best wazifa for the person who is in Ihram. So it is so simple, there's nothing really difficult up till there. Now we will say that we are arriving at Makkah Sharif. On the journey, abstain from all sin. Do not cast lustful glances at the women folk that pass by. You are going in search of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's love, and it will definitely be projecting a very wrong image if the person is now casting lustful glances at other women who are passing by. If Allah Ta'ala has made it haram now to even talk with one's wife, those things which are normally permissible, or during relationship, or that relationship which was permissible between husband and wife, if Allah Ta'ala made that also haram in Ihram, then what about those women who are total strangers and it wasn't permissible at any time in the person's life to engage in such kind of romantic talks with them? So this is what a person must be very careful. And we notice this, that there are many, many women who travel without mahrams. They don't come with mahrams. They come in groups, just ladies. Now there are ladies, 5 in a room, 10 in a room, 6 in a room, no mahrams at all. They've got fatwas that you can carry on like that. And the best part is sometimes some agents say that we are the mahrams of all these women. The agent has become the mahram. 5 ladies, you ask them, who are your mahram? They say, the agent. And this is no joke. When I was going 2 years ago, so one brother came down and he says that I want to send my mother with. There are some other ladies also that are traveling in the same plane, I want to send my mother with. And I hope that you will guide them along. The brother, with whom is your mother traveling? He said, but aren't you going in the same plane? Can't you be their mahram? I said, I am not an agent, and I can't be mahram for your mother. How can I be mahram for your mother? So this is important, that we should make sure that they go with mahrams. If they do not go with mahram, what is going to happen? Lots of people take the sister-in-laws along. They say, my sister-in-law won't get another chance to go for Hajj, therefore, and there's no other mahram that she's got who will take her, and she's very desirous, so her sister is going, so let me take her with. That is totally haram and forbidden. How will they face Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Nabi sallallahu will say, I am not happy about your coming here. I told you to come with mahram, you don't come with mahram. And you come here and you say, oh Allah, give me this and give me that and bless me and forgive me. I am not happy about your coming. So we are going to please Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we are doing exactly something which annoys Him and which displeases Him. Then how will our Hajj be accepted? So therefore these ladies who go without mahrams, we have noticed that because they have no mahrams, no control, then they are sometimes involved in sinful situations. It has become very common now in Makkah and Madina Sharif. As I mentioned in my Friday talk, that one person phoned and told me, he says, I had this dream and I want an interpretation for that dream. So I asked him a question. The brother, speak the truth. You were involved with some woman in Makkah or Madina Sharif. That's what your dream is indicating. The dream was something totally different. And he admitted, yes, that is what it is. One woman phoned and said, Maulana, I dreamt of Surah Yusuf. Somebody is telling me, read Surah Yusuf. Now, outwardly, it's a very beautiful dream. If anybody dreams, must read Surah Yusuf. What interpretation you'll give? MashaAllah, wonderful, beautiful, what a nice dream. I told her that, unfortunately, it seems that there is some man who is in your life, a stranger. But you have the potential of becoming nek and pious. But you won't be able to achieve that until you give up the sin. Is it true? She said, yes, it's true. I said, that is what you are being told, that read that Surah Yusuf and see how Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam protected himself. He was seduced by Zulaikha, but he did not even fall for that. So this is what you are being told, not that it's a very beautiful dream that now you must keep reading Surah Yusuf. So this is what is happening there. We are seeing it with our open eyes. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala must give in our hearts the azmat of that place, the respect of that place. We are not going to America, we are not going to Europe, we are not going to see Eiffel Tower, we are not going to see the Taj Mahal. We are going to the house of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Therefore my Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Dawamat Barakatuhum, he says that normally a person, a king, he would like to build a big palace. And he would like to have his palace with beautiful gardens, lush vegetation. But look at Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that he built his house where, a small house, and where the mountains are completely grassless. No grass on those mountains. The kyun? Because if Allah Ta'ala had built a very big house, then the Haji would have made one tawaf and collapsed. If the Kaaba Sharif was very big as Durban, then which Haji would have made tawaf? And if those mountains were like the mountains of Switzerland or Kashmir, then every Haji would have been sitting there with the camera clicking away. He would have forgotten about the house of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and for what purpose he came there, and he would be sitting there looking at the scenery. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's house is no ordinary place. We are going to Makkah Mukarrama, which was the birthplace of Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Makkah Mukarrama, where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had the first house for his worship constructed. Makkah Mukarrama, which was visited by every Nabi of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. 124,000 Nabis all made hijrat to Makkah Mukarrama. They all went to Makkah Mukarrama. They all went for Hajj. This Kaaba Sharif, it was visited, even if those same stones are not there. Because what is the real Kaaba Sharif? It is that land and not the walls. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's tajalli is there from the very first day. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, this house when we are visiting, we must visit it with respect. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has warned that the ummah will stay prosperous and enjoy the blessings of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala until they will respect the house of Allah and the city of Makkah Sharif. And when that respect is going to go, then Allah Ta'ala will bring about destruction. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam walked on that land. The Quran Sharif was revealed on that land. Jabal Nur is there in Makkah Mukarrama. So it is not a place that we go like how we normally go and visit other places. There we must be very careful, we must be on our guard. Just as the reward of one good deed is increased by 100,000 times there, in the same way where if you are going to commit sins there, then Allah Ta'ala, lifelong he will never be able to become prosperous. There are lots of people, they went for Hajj and they came back, and instead of changing for the better, they changed for the worse. And thereafter all the Quranic ayats and all the hadiths and all the nasihat have no effect on them, because of some sin that they have committed in that holy land.